Push the crown of the head up towards the ceiling. So the back of the neck is straight, the shoulders are back and down, the chest is up and out. And now go ahead and take a really, really deep breath. Retain the breath below the navel. And exhale. And then once again, super deep breath in. Retain the breath below the navel. And exhale. And then once again, super deep breath in. Retain the breath. And exhale. Okay. Okay, so now identify, find in your life either a mode or a part that avoids, kind of overcompensates, or surrenders. So here we're finding an actual symptom or a behavior. You can think of it as a part or a mode, but it's really just a behavior. And now, go ahead and name this part. Name it in a way that's kind of makes sense for you, that's memorable. Once you get it named, you might write it down. Okay. And get a sense for the mode. Also, notice how when you're in this mode of being, again, either this avoidance, overcompensation, or surrender, that the body feels a very particular way. Also, the mind feels a very particular way. Notice that. The mode has a signature in the body and a signature in the mind. And actually, this is very good. This means that you can completely identify the mode. Okay, now make a visualization. So imagine times when this mode or this part is active, when you are doing the avoiding, overcompensating, or compliant surrendering. Will you see yourself there in that scene? And now ask yourself, what is the kind of circumstance that triggers this in me? What's going on in my environment or even internally that triggers me into my coping mode? It can even be just a thought. And now also notice when I get into this mode, there are these consequences. I might, like, if you know, there's what's called commitment and consistency. So you get into the mode, and then all these other symptoms or behaviors come up in you. And just notice how it's all very patterned, very repetitive. Also notice how when you're behaving in this way, you elicit a somewhat predictable response in others. And just notice that with curiosity. We're not judging or being harsh with ourselves. And also, this is very, very interesting. I want you to notice how your mode or your part, your behavior reinforces negative beliefs about self, other, and world. These are called schemas. So it reinforces this way of behaving that's very patterned, reinforces some of your negative beliefs about self, other, and world. Go ahead and notice that now. This is very interesting. Okay. And so now notice, we're going to kind of like look and try to understand how your mode impacts different areas of your life. So when you are in your mode, again, this avoidance, surrender, or overcompensation way of behaving, what is your work life like? Does it impact your work life in a good way or a bad way? Just see this clearly, no judgment, just interest. Okay, and now what about your social life? So when you're in your mode, your social life has a very particular kind of look, or it feels a certain way. It's all kind of very repetitive, very stereotyped. What is your social life like when you're in your mode? Just see this with curiosity and interest. And again, maybe this mode of yours is helpful for your social life. If that's the case, acknowledge it. Okay. And now, when you've gotten into your mode, what is your internal psychological life like? So what is kind of, what's it like to live in your head when you're in your mode? I want you to notice that now. Also notice how all the mental states are very stereotyped, very repetitive. It's the same thing over and over. Okay, good. Now let's move on to your personal explorations. So your personal explorations mean going after things that are personally meaningful to you. So when you are in your mode, what do your personal explorations look like? Just noticing that. Okay, good. Now we're going to do a time dilation. So now imagine, what will your life be like if you keep going through this mode over and over? Keep up this pattern. What will your life look like in a year from now? And now, what will your life look like 5 years from now? Imagine that now. And now, what about 10 years from now? If this mode or this kind of behavior keeps kind of running your life to the degree that it does now, what will your life look like 10 years from now? And now, what about 30 years from now? What will your life look like if this mode keeps running you? Okay, good. Now, it's really important to be fair-minded and balanced when we look at ourselves. This is actually an important metacognitive skill. So we've kind of looked at many of the negatives of our mode. And this is, we'll call it maybe a neurotic set of behaviors. So, okay, it's negative, sure. But it's really important to see the positive benefits of the mode as well. So what are the benefits of the mode? How does this mode serve you? And there's definitely ways that this mode serves you. Otherwise, you would not do it. But go ahead and look for the benefits. You use this mode probably to manage suffering or avoid an even greater suffering. So see that, and that is a benefit. Okay. And now I have another question. What is the bad thing? What is the even worse type of suffering that your mode, again, this behavior of avoidance, surrender, or overcompensation, what is the even worse suffering that your mode helps you avoid? And again, this is not asking your conceptual mind, I'm asking your emotional mind. So what, in terms of your emotional truth, what is the even greater suffering that this mode helps you avoid? Okay. Good. Good. Okay, so now, what we're going to do is we're going to figure out where this mode comes from. So, okay. When you are in this mode, so imagine yourself one more time acting out the mode, acting out this behavior of overcompensation, avoidance, or surrender. How is it that you see the world, yourself, and others? So I'm going to put this a different way. When you are in your mode is a reaction to a way that you see self, other, and world. Now go ahead and, if you can, say it out loud. How is it that you view self, other, and world? Like, what kind of beliefs come up that make the mode necessary? For example, you might say, the world is a such and such kind of place. I am such and such kind of person. Others are such and such. So, therefore, I act in this way. My mode gets activated. Take another minute with this. Okay. So this belief about self, other, and world makes the mode necessary. This is your schema, or this is the belief. Go ahead and write that down. And it might be more than one belief. It's fine if it is. Okay. So this belief, this is an emotional learning. You learn this somewhere. You learn to view the world through this lens. Okay, see that clearly now. It's not strictly the truth, rather it's a colored lens through which you see the world. But once again, you learn this somewhere. So now go ahead and float back, probably to childhood, but maybe to adolescence or earlier adulthood, when you learned this negative lesson about self, other, and world. So go ahead and find a scene where this was reinforced. This doesn't have to be a real memory. It can also be a kind of amalgamated or composite memory of the kind of stuff you went through that taught you this lesson. Okay, so there you are, you have your scene. Notice how old you are. Notice where you are, who you're with. And now especially notice the feelings and the beliefs and the thoughts that are coming up in this scene. And now I want you to notice how anybody would have taken the same, we'll call it emotional learning, from this situation. Anybody would have learned the same negative lesson about life. I want you to see how this is just cause and effect. That you learned this lesson is not some sort of terrible commentary on who you are as a person. It's just a learning. And now one more time, see how this belief that you learned at the time, this way of viewing the world, continued to affect your life ever since that moment, all throughout your life, up into the present day. So see that now. Seeing this very, very clearly. Okay, good. Now go back to the scene one more time and really re-experience the feelings, the thoughts, the beliefs that were coming up. And also notice how this probably doesn't feel very good. This is upsetting. Okay, and now the perfect nurturers come into the scene. And now they remove you from the scene. And they take you somewhere totally safe. And now they respond to you in just the right way. Again, you're their child. They protect you. They keep you safe. They also attune to you. They really want to understand what this was like. And of course, they soothe you. So now go ahead and give voice to what is most unfinished. Explain to the perfect nurturers what it was like to go through this. And they're going to listen very attentively. Go ahead and do that now. That's right. Keep going. keep giving voice to whatever's most unfinished about this old scene. Now, as you're giving voice to this, the perfect nurturers lean in, they tilt the head, they say, sure, of course you view it that way. They totally get it. And they let you know that anybody would have had the same response, the same reaction to this old situation. And they also physically soothe you and physically comfort you. But go ahead and keep developing the scene. And keep giving voice to what is most unfinished. That's right. Keep giving voice to what is most unfinished, to whatever it is that you need to get off of your chest. And they keep responding. The perfect nurturers keep responding in just the right way. They respond to you the way that you just always wanted. That's right. Keep going. And now the perfect nurturers tell you the thing that you really, really need to hear to help you resolve this. But they're not kind of rushing you along. But they tell you the thing that you really need to hear. Okay, have them tell that to you now. That's right, keep going. They tell you just the thing that you most need to hear. And now also, as you're there with them, also notice that they love being with you. They love supporting you in this way. And that there is absolutely no limit whatsoever on this care and attention that they're giving. So go ahead and keep developing the scene. That's right. Keep going. Keep developing the scene. And now, one more time, give voice to what is most unfinished about this. And now the perfect nurturers lean in, tilt the head, and they totally get what you're saying. Of course they see it that same way that you do. And they physically comfort you while you're giving voice to what is most unfinished. Go ahead and develop that scene. That's right, keep going. Keep giving voice. Now, all the while, I want you to notice how happy they are to be there with you. They're so happy to support you this way. Keep going. That's right. And now they respond in just the right way, telling you the thing you just most need to hear. They do that now. That's right. Okay, now I want to point out something that's very, very interesting, very kind of uncanny. So reflect back on this negative belief that you've been working on. And notice how the way that the perfect nurturers have treated you in this meditation actually juxtaposes and disconfirms this negative belief that you came into the meditation with and you were working on. I want you to notice that. Okay. All right. And now go back. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go back to this original scene, this kind of negative scene where you learned this negative emotional belief or negative emotional lesson about life. And we're going to redo it, except for this time, you're going to be with the perfect nurturers and the scene will go ideally. It will go perfect in every way. The negative thing does not happen. So, okay, float back to just before this negative scene happened. And now you're with the perfect nurturers, and now you're gonna redo the scene, and now a perfect kind of wonderful, enjoyable thing happens instead of this negative thing that taught you the negative view on life. So go ahead and develop the scene, and here you can just go out for ice cream, fly a kite, take a walk, whatever it is that you want to do with the perfect nurturers. That's right. Keep developing the scene. Notice how happy the perfect nurturers are to be with you and to support you in this way. Keep going. Keep developing the scene. See how the perfect nurturers delight in you. See how you're a joy to them. See how also you know what you want. You're clear on what you want to do and what you want to go after. See how in this scene you're able to go after it. You have a sense of agency. Also notice how in this scene, you keep eliciting the responses from others that you want. See how you have an impact on the world and you have an impact on others. Okay, good, good. And so now notice this new positive view on life that you have. Like really feel into that. And now turn your mind towards your real adult life now and see it unfold in front of you. And now notice how it will be so much easier to connect with others. How you can connect with others from a place of security and confidence. Notice how you expect others to delight in you. Go ahead and see that. Notice also how others attune to you and how you attune with others very naturally, very fluently. Go ahead and see that now. Also, notice how there's a sense of connectedness. You're very connected. There's a sense of belonging. And now also notice how you can go after the things that you want in life because you have all the support. You feel good about yourself. You feel good about how you are with others. So now go ahead and see yourself going after the things that you want in life. Good. Now make a deep impression of that. Okay, I'll count from 5 to 1. When I get to 1, you'll be awake and present in the room, settled in the experience. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Awake and present in the room, settled in the experience.